Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places.
Len Elmore will be at center, 6'9", senior from Springfield Gardens, New York. He's their all-time champion rebounder, averaging 14.8 this year.
I said choosing Maryland was the best decision I ever made. And I still believe to this day it contributed to a lot of the success that I've had.
He's rejected by Lewis.
Lewis can block a few of them. He's blocked 41 this year.
Well, listen, he set a record last year with 99 shots that he blocked, 10 in one game alone.
Jones out of the corner, the third one in for Hughes.
One of the biggest threes he'll ever hit. Came in with a reputation as a shooter.
And I still now, 16 years later, you know, I still get that, you know, Mike Jones type of thing, and it brings back a lot of good memories.
Ravis Vasquez, the player of the year in the ACC. Yes, and a foul.
Maryland is in my DNA for sure. Like, I represent and breathe, and I love it. When you love something and you're passionate about something, everything else is much easier.
You're listening to Hear the Turtle. Your hosts are Taylor Smythe and Keith Snedden.
It's Monday, September 21st, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. And Keith, it is the first of our Maryland Basketball Record Breakers series podcasts. This series, presented by our friends at Chesapeake Employers Insurance, who you will hear from as we go through this pod. And we start with a bang. It's Gravis Vasquez, the General, one of the all-time greats in Maryland basketball history, and a player that I think if you watched him play, no matter what age you are, affected you in a certain way as a Maryland fan because of how much passion he had when he put on the jersey. It was so fun to talk to Gravis and hear his recollections of all parts of his career. You want to run through a wall after you talk to this guy.
There's no doubt. And, you know, a lot of these guys we talked to throughout this series, whether that be Len Elmore or the Lewis brothers, you know, I didn't get to watch growing up. You know, I wasn't born yet. But Gravis is one of those guys that you just felt like you had a personal connection to him watching him play when you were in the crowd because of how much he interacted with the fans, the shimmy, the shot making, and just how excited he had that building. You know, he got me hooked on Maryland basketball. And I will never forget, you know, that senior night Duke game. I think we've talked about it ad nauseum on this podcast in different forms and different ways, but sitting behind the basket that he scored that runner on against John Shire in those closing minutes of that game to help seal the deal. And I'm right in that little mini student section that used to be right behind the basket. And seeing that shot go in and just knowing like, oh we're going to storm. Oh, we're going to get it. We're about to beat Duke. We're about to get down there. And just seeing, you know, that image of Gravis with, you know, the hands in the air being lifted up by the students as they storm the court. Just a guy that you can't help but smile when you think about him. And he is all over the Maryland basketball record books.
Yeah, there's, and we'll go over all of those records at the beginning of our interview with him. Not worth getting into all of it now, as we're going to recap it there. But as you said, at that same game, Keith, I was a senior in high school who is headed to Maryland the next year, and I've rooted for Maryland basketball my whole life. So Juan Dixon is kind of my formative player as a guy that grew up in Baltimore and went to the same high school as me, and that was always my guy. But Gravis Vasquez made you him be your guy. Like, he was everyone's guy. I mean, it was to sit there and watch him do that in a pressure-packed situation against a Duke team that went on to win the national championship, and I'm standing there watching you and your fellow students storm, and I'm going, I cannot wait to get back here next year. Had that as a birthday present. I will never be more in debt to my dad than him taking me to that game. But yeah, Gravis, an amazing player, and amazing. We have to give him credit. Amazing with his time. I mean, we talked to him with around 50 minutes, and to be totally transparent, he was continuing to talk and his connection went out, and so we didn't get the rest of the things he was going through. So we maybe would have talked to him for 10 or 15 more minutes. It was coming to an end, but I'm not sure how much longer we would have gone. But he was absolutely fantastic. So yeah, we get into a ton of things with Gravis. Obviously all of the stories about the different records, which I sort of recap at the beginning of the interview, and then we get into story after story about every single thing. I mean, we talk about so many moments in his career, even beyond the records that he has set. He gives some great insights about some of his teammates. I think what he says about Eric Hayes is kind of a beautiful thing for two guys that were in the backcourt and teammates together. So we get into all of that different kind of stuff. And you want to run through a wall after this thing. So let's get to our interview and our first of our Maryland Record Breaker series with Gravis Vasquez.
For more than 100 years, Chesapeake Employers Insurance has been helping Maryland businesses keep their workers safe. With competitive pricing and an AM Best A-minus financial strength rating, it's no surprise that Chesapeake Employers is Maryland's largest writer of workers' comp insurance.
At the end of every workday, someone's waiting for your safe return.
Connect with your agent or visit CEIWC.com.
We're back here on Hear the Turtle, and Keith, when he came onto the Zoom screen, a smile came to both of our faces. They call him the General, Gravis Vasquez, one of Maryland's great ambassadors and one of the best players in program history. First of all, Gravis, we're here to talk to you about your record, so I'm going to quickly read them off to you. You remain the only player in ACC history to record 2,000 points, 700 assists, and 600 rebounds in a career. You have the career minutes record, which Anthony Cowan had a chance to break before his season got cut short this year. You have the single game assist record with 15, tied with Terrell Stokes. You set that on February 9th, 2008 against NC State. Double figure games, 112, broke Juan Dixon's mark by one, and then you hold the records for career field goal attempts and three-point field goal attempts. You also, by the way, rank second in points and assists. Not too shabby, Gravis. All of those records are in so many different facets, and you were such a versatile player. Does it speak to how versatile you were as a player that you sort of have your hands in so many different of these records?
Well, to me, records are about preparation. Preparation is the key, and I'm to this day, I'm well prepared. Like I would love to prepare about anything I do. So when I was in Maryland, even going through my high school career in Montrose Christian School, it was all about getting myself better because I knew my window was a little bit shorter than the rest of the guys. You know, I'm coming from another country. I'm trying to make it to the NBA. I'm trying to play college basketball, and I'm trying to get a degree. It requires 20,000 more things than a regular student athlete or regular American guy. So it was going to be hard for a guy, an immigrant, coming into a country to try to perform and do his best. So I understood that from the beginning. And that's a key. When you understand and when you're conscious about who you are, then the rest of the work is very smooth. And you can accomplish those records. But I paid the price. I said it a lot. Like my work ethic was the main key. It was the key. Why? Because I was the guy. I was the type of guy that on a Friday night, called Coach Atkins, used to be former assistant coach for the women basketball team in Maryland. Former assistant coach in Montrose Christian. Now he's working for the Washington Wizards. He used to be my guy. You know, I used to call him, say, Coach, I need to get better. We're going to work 8 o'clock at night on Friday. Or let's just wake up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday while everyone on Friday was going out. You know, like the student athlete life, like, you know, you have fun. I have my fun. I'm not going to lie, but I was on a tunnel vision. So to me, what defines Gravis Vasquez is the will to get better. And the will to get prepared. Like, I wanted to get prepared for everything. I knew I was going to have to earn every single thing. And it was not going to be easy. And after that, it was just, you know, the environment, the atmosphere, the chemistry between me and Coach Williams and the coaching staff. Rob Eason played a tremendous role as well. So up to this day, to me, I'm so proud of everyone around me that made that possible as well. You know, coaching staff, teachers, people that really helped me because my English was struggling at that time. So I used to go to a special program that the university put me through. English is a second language. People don't know this. So, yes, I broke a lot of records, and I still have records in Maryland, but I went through a lot to get there. So it wasn't like handed it to me. Or like, oh, this guy is good. Versatile, he's a 6'5 point guard now. People, you guys remember that when I was there, people still had a little doubts of me making it to the NBA or playing in the ACC because I wasn't this very athletic player. I was just this guy that, you know, he got hard. But I don't know if he got anything else. Then they found out he got something else that were pretty good, especially in clutch games. And then they go like, oh, this kid can play. And then I create this credibility, but I created it by preparing myself.
Talk about that career minutes record. No one has worn a Maryland uniform on the floor for longer than you have. Did you pride yourself on being able to be there night in and night out for Coach Williams and the guys?
You know, even if I was hurt or no hurt, and I was going to be there for Coach, you know, Coach was counting on me. And sometimes it was kind of like arguments were like, he's playing way too many minutes. And I was like, well, I don't know what's going to be worse. You taking me out or me and you, you know, going at it because I wanted to win. And sometimes you don't understand that, you know. But I have so much trust in Gary, and I still do. We still talk. We text. So, yes, I do have pride. My pride, like, every time I put my Maryland jersey on, it was on. I remember one game against Virginia Tech. We went through a lot. Something going on with the school. Water went out. Something was going on. It was floated. The gym was floated. We spent, like, 2 hours, 3 hours to get the game going. And then when we finally got the game going, I told Gary, I was like, hey, these guys, I'm going to go perform tonight. You know, give me that green light. I know I'm going to be crazy. You know me, you already, but I'm going to go crazy, well, real crazy tonight. And rightfully so, I went super crazy. I got 41 points. And every time I got the ball, the crowd was booing me. And I was like, yeah, you guys got to boo me even more because you're giving me more gas for me to really bust you and make this game remarkable. And that was just, that's me. And that was the level of communication of me and the coaching staff. Like, I always say this, like, Gary is the most mellow guy. He's approachable. People always thought he wasn't approachable. And even with the minutes, I play heavy minutes. And to a point, it was good and it was bad. But at that time, it was the best thing for our team because the numbers don't lie. And then when you start checking my stats and how the team in those particular years, I mean, we got better each and every year. And the way to develop Gravis was to put him out there. And he gave me the keys and he gave me the trust. I earned it. Gary's not going to give you, he's not going to hand you anything just because you're good. So, with that record, I am proud, and to these days, all my feelings are like, hey, I'm so happy that I really went to the University of Maryland and I was able to represent the school every single minute that I played. You know, I wanted to do my best on the court and off the court. So, very, very proud of that record.
You mentioned that Virginia Tech game, part of that legendary 2010 regular season championship run, one of the legendary performances during that season, which included that win over Duke at home to clinch a share eventually of that title. But, you know, you talk about all these games that you made. Are there any stories of games throughout your career where you almost missed it, whether you were sick, where you were injured? Did it ever come close to Gravis Vasquez not touching the floor, or were you always, no matter what, going to make it on?
You know what? It was funny. It was funny because I don't remember one game or practice that I say, you know what, I ain't gonna do it. I'm tired. My ankle hurts. I think part of my injuries, in a way, was because my mentality was always, you have to go, you have to go. And as good as it is to be, you know, to have this will and to anything and not be afraid and work hard, you have to really be efficient and the experience give you that. So at that time it was about me making a point, you know, because I was going through a lot. My mom and dad were in Venezuela. My freshman year, people really didn't understand me that much, but they knew I was like, oh, this kid might could be good. And my sophomore year was kind of crazy. It wasn't really as good as we thought it was going to be as a team. We didn't make the tournament. So I was like, I was crushed. So I'm like, nah, I refuse not to go to a tournament anymore. And you know what? The crazy thing about college, you only get 4 years. And the year that I remember the most is my sophomore year, because we went through a lot. We didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Us as players. And I'll talk on behalf of my teammates at that time. I think James, as well, my brother, we needed him. We needed him tremendously. I don't think he performed that sophomore year the way we wanted him to, because if he wouldn't perform at the highest level, or you know, matching up his talent, which is a very, very talented player, playing Europe, the highest level in Europe. If he wouldn't have that great senior year, I think James Gibbs would have been an NBA player with a 10-year plus career. Now that I played in the NBA, knowing him, so that's how important it is to take care of school. Like all these players right now, all these athletes, stop messing around. You know, we don't have time to party. We don't have time for girls, even though you might, but you don't have time for that. If you really want to make a statement and really want to jump to the next level, your best out of form is to perform in college, especially if you go to a big school like Maryland. So like, why waste time? That was my mentality. So I don't remember a day that I said, I don't want to practice. I used to do extra. I remember Paul Richey, our strength and conditioning coach. He used to work for the Ravens. So then he moved to Maryland. He was just telling me stories about Ray Lewis. And he got me really messed up. He was like, what time he woke up today? Like, he woke up at 4. Well, I wake up at 3. Let's go train. And he was telling me a story about Ray Lewis, one of the best football players, one of the best athletes at that time, one of the best athletes in this country, working so hard. Like, if Ray Lewis is working that hard, who am I? I'm nobody. I got to get to the gym. So that was my mentality. I was not wasting any time. So Paul Richey really got in my head, combined with Gary and Coach Atkins and Rob East and Stu Vedder, my high school coach. He's like my father. Like, those coaches really made a tremendous impact. So my life and my career, and even now, I'm not about excuses. I'm about facts. And how you get facts? Preparing yourself. And I never miss anything. Even though sometimes I was sore, sprained my ankle, but we had JJ, our trainer at that time. JJ was great. He kept me healthy. He helped me through every. I had one surgery on my left ankle, one on my right, and I didn't see my mom and dad because they were in Venezuela. We couldn't afford to bring them and see me at that time. And guess who was there for me after every surgery? JJ. Shout out to him. I hope he sees these. I miss you, buddy. I hope you're doing well.
Gravis, have you in your Maryland travels, have you ever met Ray Lewis since you were inspired by him? Have you ever gotten a chance?
I went to an event for Under Armour, and I saw him, and I had to say, hey, you might not know me, I don't care, but I'm going to tell you this, just give me 30 seconds. You are an inspiration to me. Thank you for being who you are, you know, and I gave him a hug, and I was like, I kept going. I just want to be brave and tell him that, because you know, I'm a kid from Caracas, grew up in tough neighborhoods back home. Getting to meet Ray Lewis, went to high school with Kevin Durant. People didn't believe that I was going to the ACC, play for Maryland. And now, even though I still believe I can play, even though I'm going through a lot with my injury with my right ankle, I've done some damage. I've done a lot, you know what I mean? Like, for where I was raised and the way I grew up, came here with nothing, basically. And I had to start from the bottom and build this. Now I have a family. I'm a father. I'm a husband. And I'm a businessman. And I'm a coach. And a coach that come back and be on the court as a player as well. So that's why I'm so thankful for everything that the University of Maryland did for me. I mean, it really helped me tremendously to be who I am.
Gravis, let me take you back to your sophomore year in 2008. As you said, maybe for your team, not where you wanted, but you have 15 assists in a big ACC game against NC State, which ties the all-time single season, or single game assist record. Do you remember anything about that game? And then overall, you could score it and dish it all in the same way. You know, you average the most assists in the NBA in one of your years, and obviously you could score. Take us back to that game. When did you make the decision you're going to dish that ball out?
Let me just clear this. That was a home game.
I believe so.
Right? See, it was a home game. I told the backstory. So they were talking about my stomach. Oh, you're being selfish. You're shooting way too much. You're doing way too much for the team. You have to create some type of trust to your teammates. And I go, Rob Easton. He got the balls to tell me. I'm like, Rob, hey, I'm doing whatever it takes to win. But I mean, let's just control the rest of the players that we should be out here working. You can't question my work ethic, but we should be out here working. So do I have to pass? So then I was immature responding that to him at that time. So I say, you know what? You guys are right. I got to build trust. I'm shooting way too much. I'm being erratic. You know? Okay. So I go. So Gary didn't say that to me. Gary told that to Rob. And Rob was my player development coach. So he probably went at me. I'm like, coach. No, I got upset. I got emotional. I'm like, I was so pissed. I didn't want to talk to no one. Like, I'm busting my butt every day for them to tell me that I'm just not passing the ball. Like, what I do best is my vision. So, like, I'm not passing. I'm just trying to win. So that's why people sometimes didn't understand who was that time who was Gravis Vasquez, because I couldn't care less whether a media outlet wouldn't say, like, oh, Gravis is being right, because they don't know what's going on inside that locker room. So I go, I say, you know, you guys are right. So I'm going to play the way you guys want me to play. So I went out against NC State. I say, I don't know I think I ended up scoring like 10 points. I don't remember.
You had 13 points, 9 rebounds, and 15 assists. So you're one rebound away from a triple-double.
But if you see my field goals, I start taking my field goals at the end of the game, basically in the second half. You know why? Because I went into the game, I said, I ain't going to shoot. So that message was to Gary. I was like, you want me to pass? Okay, I'm playing hard. I wanted to win. Like, come on. Comcast Center at that time, 18,000 people, you get hyped. I was extremely hyped. But imagine how disciplined I am that in my game plan, personally, I go like, they want me to pass. That's the main thing you're doing tonight. So I'm talking to myself. So I'm starting to just dish it out, making everybody be, you know, comfortable. So I ended up having like 8 assists in the first half, something like that. So then I go to the second half, and we're having a pretty good game. So Gary goes like, hey, I say not to shoot. I say to pass the ball more, but I never say not to shoot. And so I go like, now you want me to shoot. Now you want me to shoot. Okay. Hey, you're the boss. I follow your instructions. So I went out there. And I started shooting. I was being more aggressive offensively, but still I had such a great rhythm finding my teammates that I ended up having 15 assists. So the backstory is like they were saying that I needed to build trust throughout my teammates. So that's why that night I just ended up passing the crap out of the ball and finding everything.
Gravis, what does it take to be an elite passer? Because I think it's a skill in basketball that everyone kind of does, but to actually set other people up and to do it consistently, you know, it's a skill. It's an art form. How did you build that into your skill set as your career went on? And like Taylor mentioned, you became one of the most prolific passers, you know, set up guys in the NBA early on in your career. You know, what does it take to be an assist man?
Well, to me, you have to be a student of the game. You have to love watching games. And the point guard, even in nowadays, because you have such a scoring point guard right now, Westbrook and even James Harden, he's a shooting guard, point guard more because he handled the ball a lot. And most of the point guards are really aggressive scoring-wise. But if you look at a guy like, I'm not his biggest fan, but I respect his game and his leadership and what he's doing right now as a president of the Players NBA Players Association, Chris Paul. If you look at Chris Paul, he don't shoot then the first 7 minutes of the game. He's just trying to set everyone up and get people going. But how I know this? Because I watch film, I watch games. You know, you watch a guy like Steve Nash and what he does throughout games and the way he prepares himself, you know, you learn. So throughout my whole career, since high school, Stu Vedder had me, Coach Vedder got me watching film and understanding what alcohol plays. So then I became smart. Then basketball is a game of, you know, taking advantage of the disadvantage. So in case that it's a switch and you have a small guard and a big. So how can you react fast? How can your brain recognize that fast? You have to study the game. You have to see games. You have to watch game with purpose. And because I wasn't really athletic, I needed to do more of this, concentrating and thinking. And if you think the game, you play for many years and you make millions of dollars. That's why Chris Paul, to me, is the most complete point guard in nowadays of the game, the last decade, because he knows how to set teammates up fast. So that's a good guy to watch and recognize the guy cares and understand play calls. Like, to me, no one took – we used to communicate. We used to, like, even talk without talking, just calling plays, you know what I mean? Because he knew my style of play, and I knew his style of coaching. So sometimes I call the two-play when I knew he wanted the two-play because we were out of control. So the two-play is a base play. So we go, like, hey, let's just run the two-play, and I go two-play, three passes, four passes, and we're just moving the ball side to side until we find a way to attack and create for others, or maybe to score. So to me, to be a good passing point guard and to be a very smart point guard, whether you're not right now and you're trying to become, it's an easy way. You have to study the game. You have to watch film. You have to watch player personnel. You have to understand your teammates. You have to understand your plays. You have a responsibility. And the players that do that, they're gonna have a career. They're gonna break records. They're gonna have records, and that's what I did.
What was it like? Just dive into that real quick. Obviously, two ACC point guards who play with a lot of passion. What was it like playing against a guy like Chris Paul? Obviously, a guy that brings it every single night, just like you.
No, he's a monster. He's an animal. He's a big boy. I mean, Chris Paul, one of the best players that played the game. To me, he's the most complete point guard. Point guard. See, nowadays, a good point guard is to score 30 points. I ain't going to cut it. He ain't going to win it like that. And I think he's doing his best job right now because he's running, he's leading those young guys in OKC, doing what he's doing. And he's shaping his leadership skills. I mean, he was already a leader, but now he's more experienced. And experience is, when you have experience, man, is the difference between being good or great. Because now you know how to act. You know what to say. You know, your pace is different. Your swag, everything you do is totally different, you know. And Chris Paul, I mean, to me, was a tremendous honor to play against him and compete against him.
Gravis, Taylor mentioned it at the top, but 2,000 points, 600 rebounds, 700 assists. You're the only guy throughout the history of the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, that's, you know, spans decades that was able to pull that off. Are you still stunned today that you're the only person in that category? And do you think anybody else, any other, you know, players can get to that milestone?
You know what? Being who I am, I wish somebody else get my records because I want to see it closely because – make sure I appreciate what you have done. I'm not saying that I don't appreciate my whole career in Maryland, but I'm the type of guy that, you know, I love to challenge people. And sometimes it come out in a wrong way, but like, who is going to come to Maryland and study the game and study the records of, like, Gravis did this, Juan Dixon, Steve Blake, you know, Byron Mouton did this. So I want to be better than them. And quite frankly, and I came out a little short, and I have to be honest, I wanted to be better than Juan Dixon. I wanted to leave my marks better than one Dixon. I wanted to go after his records and after everything he has done. And I knew it was going to be hard because he won a championship. And he led the school to a championship. And you know what? And that's very, very healthy thoughts. I was never trying to like, no. But if you don't have a sense of purpose, or if you don't have goals, or if you don't think ahead of yourself in a way, you know, then why are you playing sports? It's about competition. It's about getting better. It's about the will of trying to do something that no one has done. Michael Jordan did it, you know, in the NBA in his whole career. Kobe Bryant did it. A lot of athletes, best quarterback in the game right now, Tom Brady, did it. It was the 2000 pick in the NFL draft, and look at who he is right now. So I was coming in, I was smart enough to say, okay, who was the best of the school? I want to be the best. I want to be the best, you know. Obviously, Len Bias is, or Michael Jordan for the school. So to me, right now, we love to challenge the guys right now. Like, hey, what you up to? You know, are you going to just go out and have fun and enjoy your time in college? Or are you just going to bust your ass and on the court and trying to get my records and trying to win a championship and say, you know what, Gravy was great, but I was better. You know, and I was like, yo, you know, I get up and clap it up because that's what I'm looking for. I want somebody to have, you know, because that's what we represent. Anyone that goes to Maryland that represents passion. You know, we challenge. We want to challenge people. So I want these players to be challenged. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's about winning. It is about winning. But if you're doing the right thing, then you are going to win, you know? So to me, to these days, I would love to see someone to challenge those records and trying to be better than me, Steve Blake, Juan Dixon. To these days, to me, the best that ever played there just because everything he accomplished.
We'll be right back to our Maryland basketball record breakers interview, but first a word from our sponsor, Chesapeake Employers Insurance. Chesapeake Employers Insurance is a proud partner of University of Maryland Athletics. For more than 100 years, Chesapeake has been helping Maryland businesses keep their workers safe. With competitive pricing and an AM Best A-minus financial strength rating, it's no surprise that Chesapeake Employers is Maryland's largest writer of workers' comp insurance. Connect with your agent or visit CEIWC.com. That's CEIWC.com.
Gravis, I have to take you back to one specific game. Senior night, Duke, the atmosphere, your performance, your parents in the crowd. Just describe that night for us. Maybe from when you woke up towards the end of the game when everyone's storming the court and there and you're, you know, getting lifted up onto people's shoulders. What was that day like for you?
You know, if I wouldn't plan it, it wouldn't got that. I mean, it wouldn't happen that well, man. It was a dream come true. I thank God. To this day, I watch it on YouTube. I have the clips on my computer. I show my kids, all my turf, all my Maryland family that living around Miami that recognize me, still talk about that game. I mean, that was the game of my life. I was so focused. I wanted to win. That was my last shot to be better than Juan and see if I was able to take my team to a Final Four. And that year was tough. You know, that game was it gave me hope and it gave me motivation to see, hey, we can go to a Final Four. We were the last team beating Duke that year, and they ended up winning the national championship. So we were close. And we ended up losing against Michigan State with a miracle shot. I forgot the name of this point guard.
Corey Lucius. Yeah.
Corey Lucius, you know, I don't even know where he's at right now. Call me so I can talk to him. But anyways, to me, my senior night was a perfect senior night for any player to dream playing a game his senior night. You know, I can't thank Gary enough, my teammates, Eric Hayes. Eric Hayes means so much to me. I think Eric Hayes, me and Eric Hayes will be head coach and assistant coach. I don't know where, but we're going to work together. I thought we did such a great job together. And he sacrificed so much for me, and being a guy that was very he wasn't really outspoken like me, crazy. He was just within himself, very, very great teammate, very great guy, great family. Eric Hayes is to me to this day, one of my favorite teammates. And you know what? I never forget anything. I'm loyal. And I know I'm going to help, and he's going to wear basketball with me. We're going to get back together somehow, some way. Not because of our friendship, because we still kind of talk every now and then, but because what we have done in our college career. We went through so much together that I can never forget that. So that night was a special night for me and for him, you know what I mean? Because together. We came in together, and that night gave us, like I say, hope to believe that we were a championship caliber team. And we were. I truly believe we were. We wouldn't have lost that game. We who knows? But that was a tough loss. You know, I scored like 19 points, like 12 points, I'm sorry, in 2 minutes. But I made a huge mistake. That's why, Kate, you have to study the game. I still watch that game. Even when I'm watching Phil and I'm trying to make a point to other point guards and other players, if you take a look at that play, at that game, even against Duke, that layup, that floor that I made that was unbalanced, I took it at the right time. I went through the basket, you know. Shire was on me. He kind of was like he wasn't really in front of me. He was sideways. And I was able to get my shot off, and I worked on those shots, and I made that shot. And that was one of the craziest shots I ever made in my career. But when you go to the Michigan State game, my senior year for the NCAA tournament, that last possession when I made that last shot, I went at least 3 or 4 seconds before. So I gave them time to take the ball out, to make 2 or 3 dribbles, and to pass. Even though they made a pass, God is amazing, but he wasn't with us that day. He wasn't for us. the center, he ducked like this, and the pass went over him. And Corey Lucius just got it, one dribble shot. But that wasn't really, I think Adrian Bowie was guarding. That wasn't really his fault, because if I wouldn't took the ball or held it for like at least 3 more seconds, they wouldn't have any time to run anything. So I take responsibility. I haven't said this publicly, but I say it now, that 10 years later, that look, I'm responsible because I shouldn't took the last shot and burned the clock, and I didn't do it. So that experience really helped me through my NBA career.
Gravis, I think I can speak for most Maryland fans. I don't think anyone's blaming you for that loss. The comeback effort you guys had to even make it a game, which was incredible. And you'll be happy to know, in my office at the Xfinity Center at Maryland, there's 4 photos from that Duke senior night victory, including you getting hoisted up by the crowd. So very, very, very memorable night in Maryland basketball history. But you've touched on it a little bit, but what was it like just to walk around campus, especially in your later years, your junior and senior years, when you've kind of gotten a little more acquainted with the Maryland fan base and the students? Because you were literally a local, you were a celebrity on campus. Your people are stopping you for photos. You can't go 2 feet without somebody recognizing you. What was that vibe like when things were just going so well, especially those last 2 seasons?
It was fun, man. It was so much fun. I never missed classes. I wanted that attention. So I used to go to classes in the front of the class. I say, attention, come to me. You know? That's what college is all about. You know, if you do it right, why not to go to class? That's what you like, socialize even more. Like, people talk about the games, talk about you. They see you walking and you're cool. I used to say hello to everyone. I mean, such a cool story, walking around campus and like, oh, gee, good job. Oh, what a game. Hey, come to our dorm. You know, we're having fun tonight. We're doing something. So, like, I got to know the whole student body even better, and my fans. And I used to go to a Stamp Union and eat lunch in front of everyone. Like, I'm one of you guys. You know, I'm not I am a celebrity, if you say so. But I'm here like I'm another student. So I want to enjoy college just like you. You know, I used to go to every tailgate, every football game, home game, and that's amazing. And I just get upset and it makes me angry when these student athletes don't want to enjoy this college life, man. They start trying to be so cool. You're not that cool. You know, especially if you go to a big campus like Maryland, like everything is. I used to go to the hockey games, women's hockey games, women's lacrosse game, men's lacrosse. They used to be great. Soccer games, men's soccer, women's soccer, like football. I used to support the guys as well. Like I used to be there. I used to be everywhere. We have like, 17, 28, 29 sports. I don't know how many sports we have at school, but we have a bunch of sports. So like, it's a great life. Walk around. People start like being lazy, like buying scooters. No, walk, enjoy it because it goes by fast, man. You don't realize that until you're gone. So it was great, man. I had so much fun. Like I said, like whenever I get to college again and do whatever, I'm gonna tell all my student athletes, hey, man, start trying to be cool. Because I wasn't trying to be cool, and I got the most out of it. And I made my dream come true. I ended up making it to the NBA, becoming a millionaire and all that stuff. Like isn't that your dream? Well, you go that's to get there, you have to go through different phases. Right now you're a student athlete, so act like it. You know, don't act like you this NBA player on campus, like you ain't getting paid or nothing, or you're not the school guy. So enjoy it. So to me, that was the best part post games. I knew that I had a great game. So you know what? What time I have class tomorrow? I class at 8:45. I was there at 8:30. You know, I was sleepy. It was sleepyhead, but I was there at 8:30, sitting at the front of the class. And the first 5 minutes of the teacher was like, greatest. What a great game. So I wake up, I look my ass off, and okay, I'm here. You know, so to me, it's fun, man. It's fun. I love it. I mean, that was just me. I had so much fun, and if I had to do it again, I'd do it even more. Walk around campus.
Griss, talk to us about what your scholarship meant to you over your 4 years in Maryland and the opportunities that it provided you.
Oh, man, that's unbelievable. To this day, I'm thankful. I can never pay back to the school because the school did so much to form me and to make me a well-prepared human being. It means a lot. Sometimes you don't value things until you lose that. Like my scholarship was like, I don't know, I guess $120,000 a year, a little more. And my family could never afford that at all, you know, and I couldn't afford that myself. So the only way to pay back was just, you know, doing the right thing when nobody was watching me and doing the right thing on the court, off the court, representing the school, because I was very humble on the opportunity. So that's what I tell students right now, student athletes, like, you need this. You need college. You need college to educate yourself. You know what I mean? Unless you're extremely talented, you'll be the number one pick next year, which is another, you know, topic. But a guy like Gravis Vasquez needed college because I wasn't a high-profile player. College made me a high-profile pick in the NBA. I was a first-round pick. But I made myself. No, I didn't make myself. School, coach, everyone around me, the fans made Gravis Vasquez attracted to the best game in the world, which is the NBA, to the best league in the world, which is the NBA. So I can't thank the school enough. I can thank my coaches enough, the athletic department, Debbie Yao. At that time, I had a great relationship. It was weird because Gary and Debbie and all that stuff, what was going on. But they were family to me because even though, like even relationships right now, you and I'm crazy because I'm the only one maybe not allowed or allowed to talk. But like when you have a relationship, like sometimes me and my wife are nuts, you know what I mean? But we love each other. So it was a tough relationship, but we were a family. We performed, we were winning. We were doing so many things. I don't know the insides, but, you know, a guy like me that was taking a scholarship and an opportunity was given, I took advantage. And look at me now. So I got to thank Debbie Yard as well.
Gravis, touch on two other record-breaking performances for us that you were a part of. Way back in your freshman season, Mike Jones hit 9 three-pointers against UMKC to break Walt Williams' single-game three-point record. What do you remember about Mike Jones' ability to shoot the basketball?
Hey, he was my roommate every time. Hey, Mike Jones was a tremendous shooter, tremendous person. I really loved playing with him. He was behind LeBron James. At that time, I didn't know anything about rankings and all that stuff. So when I go, he was my guy. So the man's like, hey, Mike, well, you're this high-profile player, man. You know, I think you got a chance. So, yeah, 9 threes, broke that record. But you know what? I always told him this, and to me, Mike would have been an NBA player if he would have focused more on his basketball career. You know what I mean? Like, he was that good. And to me, I can't slice it. Like I said, I like to prepare. So playing with Mike was such a pleasure because he was such a great shooter. It was JJ Redick and him. It was him and JJ Redick. And not to be able to see Mike later on performing in the NBA was tough for us. To me, because I was his point guard. So everyone around me needed to get better. And he was one of my responsibilities. So great friend, great player at that time. But I always thought that he couldn't have that extra to be even better. And I think he, even though he performed with us, he did a good job his college career. For the expectation, I think Mike Jones would have done a lot better. I think we only played 1 year together or two. And no, 1 year.
His 1 year. Year. Yep.
His senior year. So I wish I wouldn't have him a couple more years because I knew I wouldn't help him tremendously. Because he was, hey, that was 5 or 6 assists easily. He was automatic. But like I say, you need to be willing to prepare yourself. And when we needed him, he came through, but we needed even more. So I remember Mike always these conversations at night on the road. It used to be rumors like, man, do you understand how good you are? Like I can't believe I'm sleeping next to the second best player, basically the number one player in the coming out of high school, LeBron's class, because LeBron was from another planet. So. For me to see him breaking and scoring 9 threes is obviously great, great. What I knew he couldn't have been Mike Jones like the song, you know.
And then finally, you touched on him already, but your guy, Eric Hayes, has the career free throw percentage record. And I think me and Keith were talking about this, maybe one of the most underappreciated players in Maryland history. Yeah. Talk about him and what he brought to the table, where you could always rely on him when he was on the line or in any part of the game.
Like I said, I think part of it is my fault in a way because I was way too much. I was lit, and I still are, like, too much lit. And he was so opposite, you know what I mean? But Eric Hayes did so much for Maryland that sometimes we underestimate that. We underappreciate that. And then thank God you asked me that. To me, that's the best question because Eric Hayes was the most efficient and I would say the most professional, even though at that time we were amateurs, we were student athletes. But he was a responsible guy. He was a leader. You know, he led. He helped us. He kept me under control many times. He big threes for me. He inspired me. He inspired his teammates. Never was late. Always on time. I mean, a perfect guy. Maybe because he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't get the attention that he deserved because he was such a perfect guy. And I can't thank him enough. Like I say, like Eric Hayes is eventually. We're gonna get together, and even though he might not want to coach or whatever, I'm gonna tell him, hey, you're gonna work with me. like everything you did, like he sacrificed so much for me. Like Eric Hayes came to the school, like he signed before me, he committed before me, and he was gonna be the whole starting point guard and all that. But then we have to share minutes for first year, and then later on we started. You know, we start together, and it was lethal. We were good. We were good together. Like if I had to choose, like they say, oh, you have to play with Ty Lawson, Nolan Smith, and you choose this player. Now I'll choose E. Hayes. Eric Hayes will be my teammate, and I have to do it again. I'll do it with E. Hayes, and I'm never going to change that. I'm loyal to him, and I'm thankful that I played with him, and I want to thank him even more because he sacrificed so much for me and for the program. And I thank his family, great family, his dad, everyone that used to go to the games that we used to, you know, hang out with and talk. So, you know, Eric Hayes, man. Eric Hayes, even now, I think the whole school and the basketball program should like give him a call because he's a guy that can help the program. He's a guy that is committed to represent the school, and he don't want anything to be handed to him. He will earn his way, you know. So, but this is a great guy for youngsters. For these new recruits that are coming in, and he can guide them and he can help them. He's good, man. He's good. We need him. We need Eric Hayes. Vote for him, please.
And then finally, Gravis, one question that we've asked all of the legends we've had on is, who is your all-time Maryland starting five? Build the five.
That's a tough question.
We only ask the tough ones.
We're putting you on the spot here, guys. But you have touched on some guys already. You have gave some guys some, you know, given some props. So I think you got this.
Well, I love Steve Blake, but I'm going to have me as the point guard.
Yes, yes.
Obviously, best player that I ever played in school history, Maryland history, to me is one Dixon. He'll be a two guard. Len Bias, small forward. Power forward. Walt used to play the 3 and 4, right? Walt Williams.
I think Walt kind of played every position at some point. He played some point guard, but he could play the 3 and 4, yeah.
What was that number one pick we had before him?
Joe Smith.
He's a power forward.
Or center, yep.
You could throw him in at the four.
Killed me, but as a coach, talent-wise, I think Joe Smith will be my power forward. And my center, I love me some Lonnie.
Get put a bruiser down there.
You know, I kick it with him a lot during my college career, and we used to chat. We used to play in this over the summer. So I think I'll go to war with him. You know what I mean? I like him, and I grew up like him too. Like, but I changed my life just because I came to United States. Remember, I came to United States when I was 17. And guess what? I love Steve Blake. I love me some Steve Blake. So it's hard to sacrifice myself. But if we had to put Steve Blake on the starting lineup, I wouldn't mind. I miss Steve Francis. He's a mole. He can play. Probably one of the most talented players that I ever played there. But in terms of, like, numbers and statistics and what you have done for the school, Juan Dixon has to be there. I would love me some Byron Mouton. Mouton made a tremendous impact in my career because he was always there playing pickup with us. I always wanted to fight him because he talked a lot of smash. And you know what? It was always like 3-0 good guys. Who is winning? Good guys are winning right now. So he used to talk about crap, and he made me competitive. He made me better. He made the whole program better. I think he's another guy that, you know, should be around the program for the rest of his life because he won the best for the school. So, you know, I'm just proud, man. The University of Maryland have done a great job throughout the years, and even before my time and previous my time. I think anyone that goes to the University of Maryland to play any sport, especially basketball, you should be proud. You know, you're gonna get a tremendous help in terms of academics, school, and you're playing against the best schools in the country. So it's a time for you to perform and utilize that platform. So I'm not trying to sell you to go to Maryland, but it's fun. Maryland is fun near Washington, D.C., near Baltimore, obviously, and Virginia. So the DMV, to me, is the best of the best talking about basketball.
That's just an absolutely amazing pickup game. Gravis Vasquez, thank you so much for what you've done for the University of Maryland, for inspiring people like me and Keith who are watching you and continue to watch you and be inspired by you. We can't wait to see what you do for the rest. And thanks for coming on Hear the Turtle.
Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota, and there's really not much to say. Gravis kind of says it all when you have him on. And we talked about it in the episode last week about how we had Gravis on before, and it was really one of the kind of like seminal moments for us at the beginning of the pod was to get him on. We went to a donor event and got him on. He was so gracious with us then when we had barely done it. I think that was one of our, you know, our first 10 or 12 episodes when we got him on. And now to have him on again and get all of that time with him, to talk about all those stories, stuff with Gary and Eric Hayes. And the fact that he blamed himself for the Michigan State ending in the tournament is absolutely insane. But that's what we just heard from Gravis Vasquez. That's the kind of guy that he is.
And when we talked to Scott Van Pelt a few weeks back, you know, that's just the game that just always sticks out in Scott's mind of just, you know, how many times he's watched back through that game and, you know, watched the ending and just, you know, what a heartbreaker it was. But, you know, it shows you what that team, you know, meant to Maryland fans and what could have been. You know, will always be that question. You know, could they have made it to a Final Four or what have you, whatever. But yeah, I think we let it known to Gravis. You know, I don't think anyone's blaming him for that one going down the way it did.
No, not at all. He single-handedly brought the team back and then hit the shot. I mean, he hit the shot to put it ahead, and unfortunately, you know, someone else, as SVP put it to us, somebody else came back and hit another shot, and that's kind of how that goes sometimes. But you talk about that interview with SVP, and when we asked him about Vasquez, he just beat his chest, just like Gravis would have, and that's what he means. And I think that kind of sums it up. So once again, thanks to Gravis Vasquez for jumping on with us. Just so many great stories in that. And that's kind of a look at what you're going to get in this series as we go through. Our next one on the docket here will be Len Elmore, the Maryland rebounding king, who has been a presence in college basketball since he stepped on campus now. Obviously had the great years at Maryland, and now has been a commentator for so long for ESPN and Fox and CBS, has called so many big games over the years, and has always just been a great representative of the student-athlete experience and what that means. And he talks about that in our interview with him. So some great insights about rebounding, some great old – if you're an old-school fan, Maryland fan, you're going to enjoy this. And even if you haven't ever watched Len Elmore play and don't know that much about him, you're going to learn about an all-time Maryland great. So be on the lookout for that this Monday as we continue to go through this series. Make sure to go back and listen to some of our other episodes. Outside of this, we talked to Maryland wide receiver Brian Cobb about the return to football and just had Maryland national championship goalkeeper Dane St. Clair on as well. So here the Turtle, rocking and rolling. Maryland basketball records, Keith. Maryland football coming back. A bunch of different things.
Stay subscribed, Taylor. Give us that 5-star review. Follow us on all of our social media channels. I know that's what you usually say, so why don't you bring us? Where are we following? Keith, we got TikTok now, right?
What are we going to follow? Well, we do have some TikToks, although the news about TikTok today as we're recording, maybe not. You can no longer download TikTok.
Oh, wow.
As of the Saturday that is before the time we're recording.
So, wait a minute. So you spearheaded and launched our Maryland Athletics TikTok accounts,
and football.
Testudo accounts, football.
Yeah.
Getting people jazzed up and excited, and now it's out of the App Store.
Now it's going to be out of the App Store. Now who knows? This could be not the news once this drops, because somebody could buy it or whatever.
I completely missed this. We're recording on a Friday afternoon here, and I did not hear about this news.
We are, and I just read this before we started recording. And yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But so you can at this point still continue to follow us on TikTok if you would like, but you can mainly follow us if you listen to this podcast at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram, Sneds311 for my co-host, who I was now looking at his phone to check the TikTok news. And if there's something that replaces TikTok, we'll tell you what to follow there. You can follow me at TaylorSmythe10 for all of your Maryland TikTok promotion needs. And we will see you next time on Hear the Turtle.
Go Terps!